Now thank the Lord for salvation. I'm glad that I'm one that can say that the Lord saved me and redeemed me. That's been a number of years ago now, and I've never regretted it. But I'm always aware, and I pray that the Lord would make us all aware tonight, that as it's true of people that's not saved, that as long as there's life, there's a chance.
Yes.
It is also true, as long as there's life, there's a chance to be lost.
Yes.
And I think that we all ought to seriously consider that tonight, no matter what our position is. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're here for a reason. If you're here tonight and you've wrestled around with the things of God and never really been successful, it'd be a good time to consider that you could be lost. And being lost is forever. If we could look into it tonight the way it really is, I believe it'd stir every one of our hearts to deeper things. I believe if we could really get a vision of what being lost eternally would be like, that we all would probably be on our knees. But if you're here tonight and you've considered yourself successful, been through some battles and won some battles, you need to realize something. You can be lost. And if you're here tonight and you feel like that you've got the years under your belt, and you've won the victories, and you've got the experiences behind you, those are good. Thank the Lord for them. But you can still be lost. So Lord, help us as we look into this thought tonight, that the Lord would stir us to realize that there's no place in life for us to stop, to slow down, to give in, give up, because our soul's at stake.
That's right.
There has been many more qualified, better, smarter, more intelligent, all the way around men than I am, that's lost their souls. So it makes me to realize I need something more than I've got to be saved. I'd like to start with a familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth," this is the 12th verse, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth," you think you stand, that's good. Wouldn't want you to think that you don't. But see, there was a warning that goes along with this tonight. And there's a reason for this. The reason the Lord said this is because you can think you stand. And to them that thinketh they stand, take heed. Take heed lest you fall, because this is the reality of serving the Lord. Nothing that you can do can save yourself. There's a reality here. All your memorization of the scriptures won't save you. Learning the songs won't save you. There is a dynamics that saves you, and it's none of these things. So all the things that we incorporate, I'm faithful. I go to church on Sundays. I pray, I do certain things, and all of those are beneficial. They're all things, but there's something here that makes us think we stand. We do stand. But there's an element here that you can lose and do all the superficial things. There's something here that can be lost. And we can go on in the dynamics. I can go on being religious. I can go on doing the things I've always done and lose the very essence of what salvation is.
Yes.
Do you know salvation is of the Lord? It's not of ourselves. You can't make it. You can't do anything to get it. If you don't get it of the Lord and maintain it with the Lord and have the Lord there with it, you don't have it. No matter what you've done over the years or what you've done, salvation is of the Lord. And this is what this scripture is talking about tonight. And Lord, help us, because you can go through all of it and lose the very essence of it. Do you know that this is what he's talking about is take heed that you lose the Lord. Yes. The Lord. Take heed that you lose the Lord out of your life. Make sure that your prayers are for a reason. Keep the relationship of the Lord. Because without the Lord, we're not saved. And nothing else that we can do will make us be saved. So if we think we stand, I've went through the battles. I've won some battles, thank the Lord. I've seen the Lord in my life. I've had the Lord speak to me things that was real to my heart. I've seen the amazing things. I've seen the outstanding things. I've seen the deliverances. I've seen the victories. I've seen the healings. I've seen God deal with souls. I've seen salvation come. I've seen deliverance. I've seen those things. They won't save me. There's something that'll save us. And it's the Lord in here. That's what we've got to hold on to tonight. So if you think if you stand because of the merits that you might have in life, take heed tonight. Because the reality of it is, and I pray the Lord would help us tonight to understand this. Everything that brings a distance between us and the Lord is bad for us. Whether it's worldliness, whether it's indifference, whether it's lethargy, whether it's standing, if it's going through it and saying, I'm here now. Anything that causes us a distance between us and the Lord is bad for us. Take heed to those things. And yet the other things that we should say, yes, Lord, I will embrace that. Suffering. Suffering is an element of God that says, draw close to me, that we say, Lord, I need you badly. It doesn't do it. The last experience doesn't do it now, Lord. All my years of living for you in past prayers, they don't do it now. All the victories, the deliverances, the prayers I prayed, the times I've got up and preached at Monarch and somebody patted you on the back, good message, Brother Marty, they don't mean anything now. Now it's down to me and the Lord. Lord, I need you or I'm going to lose my sanity. You ever been there? Lord, I need you or I'm going to lose my mind. It's not working right. I need help from you, Lord. And we look and we say many times, we stand back from that. But folks, that's a place that, it's what we need. Thank you, Lord, for those places, because everything that draws us closer to the Lord is our salvation. We need God to work with our life. You need your path tonight. God has chosen a path for you tonight, and you need it. You need what the Lord's doing in your life right now, because He is crying to you, my child, don't be lost. You say, but I've been saved for 30 years. You can be lost tonight. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that's our salvation. We heard it this morning. Salvation is a personal experience. You've got to have the personal experience. We collectively come together and we tell our personal experiences of the Lord. The light that lights us all is the Lord. And as we... anything, whatever it is of life that draws us away, because we live in a prosperous time, because we gain of the world's materials or whatever it is that causes us to feel independent, self-sufficient. Those are bad things. Those are bad things. You can be lost, and when you're lost for a long time. It's called forever. And it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it, folks, tonight. Well, no matter what your position is tonight, if you're here, it's not worth being lost. No matter what you have to go through for the section called time of your life, it's not going to be worth eternity. Over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, 7th chapter of Matthew is a conclusion of the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. I imagine that it's been preached on as much as anything. It has, there is the whole Gospels in there. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can go and dig out of the Sermon on the Mount. It's just rich beyond our understanding. But he comes to a point here, and this is kind of the Lord concluding the end of this in the 7th chapter. And in the 21st verse, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Right. Again, he comes down to the conclusion, what information, what blessings, what eternal salvation he had preached to them. Taught how to be happy in this life. Taught how to get along with others. Taught how to live the way according to the Lord. And then he comes to the end of it and says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, not everyone that acknowledges my divinity, not everyone that acknowledges my authority, not everyone that acknowledges that I was Christ, not everyone that walked the trail. Do you realize he's talking here along with the multitude, but he's talking to his 12 disciples too? He's warning them to say to them, just because you call me Lord, don't mean you're going to be saved. Just because you acknowledge all of these things, don't mean you're going to be saved. You, Peter, you can be lost. You can be lost. You might, Andrew, all these disciples, you got to point them a name. John. John, listen to me. I know you love me. I know you got these things. You call me Lord. But listen, you got to maintain that. Just because you say, Lord, Lord, to me, you recognize that no man can do these miracles. No, they can't do it. I recognize that there's a Lord. Do you realize all the experience of 25, 26 years of my saved experience, of the years that I ministered, I can still lose my soul? And you can lose your soul tonight too. We live in a time that's trying to sap us away from the relationship in the Lord. And just by time, you know it, I know it. The nature of things is we get down into our ritual way of doing things. Folks, your ritual way of doing things is not going to save your soul. You're going to have the Lord living in your life, or you're going to be lost. And lost forever, and it's a long, long time. Lord, help us tonight. Because it's the maintaining of the fruits of the Spirit in my life. It's the maintaining of Christ in my life. It's keeping those things in my life. Keeping a life in there. A life of the Lord that blossoms out in my life. It's not just about having a form of religion and having nothing that goes along with it. It's good to say, Lord, Lord, isn't it? He wasn't condemning the Lord, Lord, any more than he was in condemning those that standeth. But he was condemning, and he was bringing a warning to this idea. Just because you have an acceptance of religious things, don't mean you're saved. You have to know the Lord. And if you look back in this passage just before this, the Lord started talking about some trees. Some trees, and some of them were evil, and they brought evil fruit. And good trees bring forth good fruit. And the Lord is saying here, you're going to have to go through the process of salvation and maintain the process of salvation. When we go out of here, we've got to be a tree full of fruit. It doesn't end with that. I've thought many times how wonderful the plan would be is if the Lord just saved you real good and then took you out of here. It don't work that way. I got real good and saved and blessed and rejoiced and was so happy I was saved. And then I have fought battles. I have been discouraged. I've been up. I've been down crossways and backwards. I'm going to tell you, through all of that, you know what the answer to me at the bottom, all of it was? Lord Jesus. You're still Lord to me. You're my God. Lord, you're my helper. I'm calling on you now as being my helper. You're still the one that brought me to this place. And you know what? It enriched my relationship with you. And so I'll have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Because without that, I can't be saved. And I want to be saved. You should want to be saved too. And I want to say again, at the risk of repeating myself too much, you can be lost forever tonight. If you're sitting there saying, no, I got too good a hold of it, then I would say more so for you. More so for you, because the more desperate we become, the more salvation we have in it. The more I realize I can't do it on my own. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I cannot do it by myself. I don't have forgiveness by myself. I don't have holiness by myself. I don't have good things in myself. I'm irritable, I'm hateful, I'm ornery. That's a humanity that I have in of my life. And God is my salvation. I'm dependent on that tonight. And you're going to have to depend on it too. You're going to have to be, and I'm settled, I'm comfortable, and I'm in a comfortable position in my life. I've got to an age I'm more comfortable than I've been in a lot of ways, but I need to be saved. And I can be lost because I'm comfortable. And I'm not of the fortitude to not make myself comfortable. So who am I depending on? I'm not going to make myself uncomfortable. So I throw it onto the Lord. Lord, you are the one to make me uncomfortable, because I would do it wrong anyway. I'd make myself uncomfortable in the wrong ways, in the wrong places. I'd try to gain something, I wouldn't gain anything about it. Salvation is of the Lord tonight. And there's many that will say, many will say, they'll come to Him and say, Lord, 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 Lord. We all say it, Lord, Lord. The country says, Lord, Lord. But where's the salvation? Where's the salvation? Many will say, or not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he that doeth the will of my Father. One writer wrote this: every man ought to be vigorous as a panther, swift as an eagle, fleet as a deer, and strong as a lion to do the will of God. The passion, the desire, the understanding that my salvation is in doing the will of God, in having a relationship with the Lord, realizing that God sent His Son for the relationship that you and I can have with God through His Son. They are one. Our relationship with Christ is as to God. It is to God. He is God. It's our relationship with God. Without it, there's no salvation, no matter what you think. No matter what I can do. Religion's cheap tonight. Dime a dozen. You can get it anywhere. It's man's thinking. It's man's beliefs. It can be on anything. But salvation is of the Lord. Outward profession of religion, however remarkable, will not bring us to heaven. Understand that? No matter how remarkable, how much we're encouraged, how much it impresses us. I remember a man many years ago, and I know I'm going to take some liberty here, but there was a man that would stand up and he would quote chapters of the Bible. And he'd done it because he could. And he stood up to do it to impress the ears that would hear it and all the oohs and ahs that would come from it. And it was impressive memory. But it's not salvation. I think everyone should put to memory the Scriptures because they want to be vigorous. Because they want to know how to please the Lord. We need to do that. But no matter how remarkable your demonstration of religion is, it won't take you to heaven. Because there's many people that can't hardly remember anything, that love the Lord and got a hold of Him, and the Lord got salvation for them. It's not about what you can do in your human mind tonight. It's about what the Lord can do through your human mind tonight. We've got to have the Lord. And you know, it makes so much sense to me in all of our troubles. You know what the answer to all of our troubles? Brother Ivan told us this morning. The answer to all of our troubles is the Lord. It's the salvation of God in our lives. It takes care of so many things. Lord, help us tonight. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of my Father? What was some of the simplistically thinking? The will of God. What does God expect of you and I? To love God with all of our heart? Center God in all that we do? Is that radical? Is it too much? Is it unscriptural? Or is it the will of God concerning us? Surely it is. To love our brother as ourselves. It comes down fairly simple, the will of God. Not everyone that says the Lord, Lord, but those that's willing to put their heart into it and passionately and look at it and say, well, should we not all do it by the nature of the Spirit that's in us to say, of the Spirit of Christ that's in us to say no to the world? No, no to that. Anything that would challenge the Lord, the love of my soul, why would I want it in my life? No, I don't want that in my life. I don't have to be prodded and poked and pushed along and argued and have all these debates. If it's not what the Lord wants, I don't want it. I want the will of God. The will of God is holiness and righteousness. I don't want the vileness of the world. Understand the will of God. What is it for our lives that we live in purity and honestly, uprightness with integrity? The will of God. To our lives. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I don't know the answer to these scriptures altogether. I've had different thoughts about them, but it sounds to me like somebody's going to think when they get there by this reading, they're going to think because they preached that was the ticket. Well, everybody got to be a preacher then. He prophesied and he says, I prophesied, so I should get entered in. I prophesied for you. I preached. Folks, that ain't it.
That's right.
That's just where a faithful servant that follows the Lord in the callings of their life goes doing the will of God in their life. That's all it is. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, the answer would have been yes to that. And in thy name have cast out devils? Well, they thought that something was there was happening. Perhaps it did. I don't know all that, but they had an account of it. Did we not do these things? Did we not work diligently for these things? We thought that this was the path to it. Do you know all these things can happen? And they can do it for the glory and praise of men. They can do it for the eyes of those around so that I can stick my chest out a little bit and stand up a little higher and you all think well of us because certain things happened. That's not salvation. When we get up and do what we do, we need to do it because we love the Lord. And that's our purpose for doing it.
Right.
Love the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to share what the Lord's given to me.
Yes.
And called me to do. That's what I do. And the rest of it's in the Lord's hands. I'll never be able to claim when I get over there, Lord, I preached so many times. You got it wrote down. It's on the web. You can hear it. All these things that you can say. You know what? It don't count. It don't count. That's not what it's about. It's about that relationship with the Lord. It's about the heart inside there. It's about that heart that comes out. And where it's it needs to be challenged, it's challenged. And the things that draw me closer are precious. Listen to me tonight, folks. There's going to be life to live after this meeting. during this meeting and after, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be in the next year, there is going to be for many people heartache. It can be a blessing. It can be where you find your reality of God. It's where your salvation might lay. You be very careful of the things that the Lord puts into your life, because it might be your eternal salvation at the door. So Lord, help us to consider. Oh, I know how we'd like to live our life. Carefree and no troubles. I don't give me one more trouble. I want to live to be 100 and die in my sleep. I don't want to die before my wife and children do and everybody that I love and care for. But that's not life. And that's not salvation either. But oh, how faithful is God to our souls tonight. If we'll give God the room for our life, God is faithful. God is faithful to your soul. Don't turn it down. God is faithful. Take heed. Take heed lest you fall. Get the experiences as they come your way. Pray that the Lord's will would be done. Have you got a calling that you know what it is? Everybody's got one. If you don't know yours, go ahead and ask the Lord for it. You need it. You need it. It's your salvation. Because in that calling, you'll find a working relationship with the Lord. You'll find where God speaks to you and gives you something. And you'll, oh no, it don't always happen well. It's all boomed down and it's all in a written. No, it don't happen like that. It happens and you ask the Lord in desperation sometimes, Lord, we need something. Yeah. And miraculously, the Spirit of the Lord starts stirring your heart. And you have a relationship that works with the Lord back and forth. And when you get through, you say in the quiet spirit of your heart, thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching. Thank you for reaching out through the words that you inspired. Oh, what a life to live. It's so inspiring to my heart to see the Lord use this miserable vessel to the glory of God. Thank God for it. And you have a calling. You have a call. You have a calling. And you have something tonight that maybe without it, you might be lost. I want you to get a hold of it, because you might be lost and forever tonight. That's an important part of what the Lord has for you in the building of the relationship, that's salvation. Because salvation is of the Lord and it is in the heart of us. And it needs to be nourished and took care of. So Lord, help us to take care of it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. We've built chapels. We've built establishments. We've built orphanages. We've built things around the world. We've worked. Did they not? They did. And each one of these was in their minds, their hearts, a passport into heaven. And oh, how wrong they were. There is no other passport than the blood of Jesus. It's it. The relationship between the Lord that is to endure to the end. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. You fall in sin, you'll forever lie that way. And if you fall in holiness, you'll forever lie that way. But I want to warn you tonight. It can slip from your heart. It can be taken by degrees away, and from a point you never realized to a point that you are left with an empty, hollow shell called religion. Without any burning flame in the middle of it. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's where it ends up at. Matthew 25, very familiar scripture. First verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. We all have heard this many times, no doubt. 10 virgins going to meet the bridegroom. Glorious picture. Picture of purity. Picture of doing. Of care, of taking care, of doing the things, of having standards. They're good, they're right, they're apart. Sure they are. You can hold the standards outwardly and lose your soul.
That's true.
Lord, help us. You can. They won't save you. They're beneficial in the blessings to our lives. They're a part of it. They're what every good saint wants to do. There is a guard against it. We put up against things attacking us. Sure. Sure it is. The scripture says that because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. So there's a reverse action here. The world, we have standards so the world can't encroach upon our love to the Lord. We put things, I don't listen to that. I don't go there. I don't dress that way. I don't do the things that touch my life inside because it can go backwards in. But it's still the heart. It's the heart. And here is the 10 virgins that had taken care of themselves to be called virgins of purity, of religious order and of things. And here they go to meet the bridegroom. We're aware of this scripture. And five of them were wise. And five of them were foolish. And I call for wisdom tonight. You can lose your soul no matter how long you've been saved. No matter how much work you do. You can lose your soul. So there, we call for wisdom tonight to consider, to take heed. To take heed to my soul. To make sure that I have it in its right place. That the Lord is still there. As my Redeemer, my lover, Lord, I renew my vows. I renew my relationship with you tonight. Lord, help me to the ground that's been lost over the years or of the things that's happened. It happens. Life wears on us. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. A tarrying time. Tarrying. Waiting. Well, if I'd have been saved, if I went out of here when I first got saved, I wouldn't have had to tarried. But now I'm tarrying. Now we're waiting. When's the Lord coming for me? I don't know. He didn't tell me. And he didn't tell you either. And he probably won't. But he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be as those wise ever filled with oil. Yes. The vessel filled with oil. Always there with oil in the vessel. Yes. Living for the Lord is that way. You know why? You know why we give up? You know why people quit? You know why it isn't like it should be many times? Now, I'm convinced that there is nothing compared to salvation, to live life by. I'm convinced of it. But the slacker you get with it, the easier you are with it, the less passionate you are about it, the more competition the world gets with it. And it becomes a time till you look in one side and then the other and you don't know which one's the best. We need some passion. We need some desire. We need some oil in there. We need some fire and some fervor and some heat in there about serving the Lord. But it's more than just how I get by in this life, folks. I want the Lord to register this deeply within our heart tonight. You can be lost. Forever you can be lost no matter what your status is. We may look on you tonight and the Lord could take you out of here and we all look over your dead form and say they were a wonderful saint. And you'd be lost. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Is that good? Is that a great time? Thank the Lord. The bridegroom's coming. Is that a trumpet? Is that a joyful sound? Is it? For half of them it is. Half of them is bad. It should have been a joyful sound. What were they waiting on? The bridegroom. there waiting for the bridegroom, and all of a sudden, in the reality of the moment and of time, I'm going to tell you, folks, there'll be a time that everybody is going to have the stark realization of who they are.
Right.
You better know it now.
Yes.
You better find that relationship with the Lord that's real, and you know it now, because there's going to be a stark reality one time when the bridegroom comes, and there's going to be a reality of what I really am. Not the facades that I've shown you. Not the facades that I make for myself in my own life and the walls and the barriers and who I pretend that I am even to myself. There's going to be a stark reality about who I am to God. But I prophesied. I prophesied. I've built. I've done. In all those terrible words. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But what couldn't I have done? And it stays in my mind. The time I was riding with Brother Sammons along, and Brother Sammons, with a distant look out across Greenbank, said, "Brother Marty, it'd be awful after all of this if I'd be lost." And I was like, "Brother Sammons." But Brother Sammons was getting up there. He's getting ready to do something. And he was thinking, "I can be lost. After all this, millions of miles." He's seen the altars line. He's seen them filled. He's seen God work. He laid hands on people and they got up and he saw the works of God. But yet he looked with a blankness across the valley. He said, "It'd be awful to be lost after all this." Oh, but there was something in there. There was something in there that was pulling him. Get closer. You better be careful. You better be careful of your life, because you can be lost after all of this. Folks, you can be lost tonight. Don't be lost. Don't be lost. "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" Thank the Lord. I've had in my mind the meeting of the bridegroom. Maybe it's a little on the selfie side. I don't know. But when things get to be getting really rough sometimes, I get to thinking, this is not going to be like this in heaven. I mean, one of these days, it's not going to be like this anymore. It looks pretty good sometimes. The bridegroom's coming. Oh, I've longed. I've lived my life. Now the bridegroom's coming. But then that pierce of the heart that says, "No! No! I thought that it would light. It ain't lighting. I'm coming down to the end of it. I keep trying to light it and it won't light. What's wrong? It used to be lit. It used to burn. But it won't burn. Oh no, what is it? It's empty. And the bridegroom's coming. And it's empty. How hard is it for you in the 11th hour? Folks, do it. I believe in that. I really do. But folks, don't bank on it.
That's right.
You can't know that your heart can get there. You can't know that your faith, God will save you. But it takes faith to do it.
Yes.
And you won't know that you can have faith in the 11th hour. You won't know that after you shun the Lord and the right things of life, that you can muster the faith to be saved in the 11th hour. God's merciful, but don't bank on it tonight.
Right.
Oh, the pierce of that thought that it won't light now, and now I need light and it ain't there. I've got to get it from somebody, Brother Ivan. Give me some of it. If you wanted to, you couldn't give what I'm talking about tonight. You can give a little of your religion. You can give some kind words. You can give help. But you cannot give the Spirit of God. You've got to give it. You got to get it from the Lord.
Yes.
Folks, you got to have it.
Yes.
You've got to have it tonight. "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so.'" Desperation? Yeah. Desperation that looks to the wrong place. You can't find it now. "The wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. How that echoes. While they was off trying to get what they should have always had, not knowing where or how to get, what are you going to buy at midnight? The futileness of it, the ridiculousness of it, to buy at midnight. Folks, it's closed. The shops are closed. The camp meetings are closed. The reality's gone now. No more place. And the bridegroom came. Oh, and there was rejoicing, no doubt. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him and to the marriage, and the door was shut. And what rejoicing the five had, and what they lived for, what they had, their lights were burning, they went in, and what a glory, and the door was shut. Folks, it'll shut one day. It'll shut on your eternal soul. Mine too. It's going to shut. Sometimes when you don't think or know. Sometimes there's an extended time to consider in more serious ways. And sometimes there's not. But ultimately for every one of us, the door shuts. And folks, I'm going to tell you don't open this door. It shuts. And in that time, after it came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. It is impossible that the Lord don't have the understanding of your person. He don't know the spirit you have, is what he's saying. He don't recognize you being his. It wasn't there. Folks, these people were extremely devout, religious people that lost their souls. Just to reiterate, you can be lost tonight. And when you're lost for a long, long time. Don't risk it. Make it right for the Lord and the determination to do the will of God in your life. And continue on with the relationship, because the ultimate is, and we, get me right here, we have wonderful fellowship together, because if I walk in the light and you walk in the light and we have it together. But folks, I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like me or not doesn't have anything to do with my salvation. I love you all. I love the saints. I love being here. But the bottom line of it is it don't make no difference really what you think about me. It isn't going to keep me out of heaven. What's going to keep me out of heaven is if I lose my experience with the Lord. Because He is salvation. I am the way, the truth, the life. He's the one I've got to please or not please. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.